Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lesson 12. To love mercy. Kingdom priorities. Imagine you've only a few more weeks to live. Death is at hand. You will die. Some more weeks, maybe month. The end is near. What is still important then? Do you care what color your curtains in your home have? Do you care what car is outside the house? You've only a few more weeks to live. What is still important then in such an atmosphere? Death is near. And someone has said, only those aspects of life which are important when death is at the door, those are the aspects that are really important in life. And very often, we are so overwhelmed of things that are unimportant, without any importance for the future. It's just in the moment we think, oh. And it's lost time. Jesus wanted to show us what has priority. In Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount, we read in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink. But it's important, otherwise I will die. Yeah. But it is not priority. It's not the first thing you have to think about. Or nor yet for your body what you shall put on. When you think of fashion, a new dress, new clothes, how would I look like? Is this priority? Really? If death is at the door, what does it matter? What kind of clothes are in your cupboard? Do you still care? Then you start making a new playlist. This is on the first place, second, third, fourth. I do not have much time. So the most important thing must be on the first place. And we should do that not only when death is at the door. We should do that now, this very moment. Now, when you hear this, now is the time. You do not know if you exist tomorrow. Do you? Nobody knows. Sometimes death is not at the door, it is here. So we need to rearrange our priorities. In
Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Compassion fatigue. In our Western world, you can see on TV, in internet, daily news, all catastrophes, calamities, whatever happens on this planet, you get it live into your living room. Because of this daily pictures, videos, you can be in a way tired of compassion. When you see all the misery in this world, what can you do as a single person? But Jesus, he told us something. Do you to others what you would have them do to you? Matthew 7:12. We should do to others what you would have them do to you. In one sentence, Jesus tells us about the principle for life. He was moved by the misery of the people. Jesus was moved. And then he started helping. He saw them, sheep without a shepherd. The good shepherds, where are they? Where are they? People are lost. They are addicted to drugs, to music, to alcohol, to food, to holiday, whatever. Addicted, not free. They have fetters around them. They can't really breathe. They want to be free and abound. And Jesus is moved by that. Therefore he came to this planet. And he wants us to be moved as well. We have the best message that you can find on this planet. The very, very best message. Showing there's someone, the only one, who can lose these fetters. There's someone who can make you free, really free. All your addictions, everything that is something around you that you nearly starve to death. All these elements which want to kill you, he, your savior, he can destroy all these bad elements around you. And he wants you to have compassion on those who have no shepherd. Show the shepherd to them. Show them the shepherd, the good shepherd, as you can see it here on the painting, on this piece of art. Show them the love of the only one good shepherd on earth, Jesus Christ. Let's pray for these people. Let's do them something for good, those you know. We know of Ellen G. White when she heard in the neighborhood a housewife, a mother of children, ill. So what's going on with the family? She ordered her cook. You cook something for this family, you take it, bring it over to this family. And then she stepped towards this house, prayed with them, showed them the Good Shepherd. When Ellen G. White died, in the memory of the people around, she was considered as an angel, as someone who helped the needy. If people think about you when you're not anymore around because you rest in the grave, when they think about you as an angel, oh, that would be something for the future, wouldn't it? Generosity. Leviticus 25, verse 35. And if your brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with you, then you shall relieve him. Yeah. So he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take you no usury of him or increase. Fear your God, that your brother may live with you. You shall not give him your money upon usury, nor lend him your victuals for increase. Now imagine, a whole system, a whole financial system is based on increase. That's the aim, that's the sense of it. Otherwise forget it, huh? Increase, 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 increase. You shall fear God and not do it for increase. He should live. I should live. This is our financial system. I more, he less. I can only have more when he has less. So our system is just the opposite. Interesting. This is a contrast, isn't it? It's a contradiction. And God wants us to be generous and not increasing. The amount of money. You get a credit, but therefore I get much more in the end back from you. We are people who should look at this world with the eyes of Jesus and not of, well, where's business for me? Where could I make a bargain? Where could I do things for increasing my amount of money? Where is someone in need? And not only financially in need, maybe psychologically, maybe just spending time, maybe just writing an email, a postcard, a letter, call. When we think of people, we remember them, address them, they are moved in their heart. They see, oh, there's someone who loves me. And that's something we like, don't we? The opposite is, nobody takes care of me. If I live or I do not live, nobody will know. And sometimes this happens in big cities. Somebody dies, nobody cares about it. Can happen that people lie dead in a home for days. For days. Nobody takes care of it. After a while, the smell of the dead body, the corpse. Yeah, that's something they smell it, and then they see, oh, there has to be something to be done about it, because I do not like to smell. Generosity as a principle, of a lifestyle. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Letter of Paul to Philemon. In verse 6, generosity is an attitude toward life. Peacemaking. Maybe you have experienced the following. A group of people is together, and another one steps in, is added to the group, and suddenly, chaos. The opposite, a group is together of people, there is chaos, another person comes in, and after a while, peace, harmony. Interesting. So there are people, when they come together with other people, chaos will be the result. And there are people, when they are together with other people, peace will be the result. And Jesus said, blessed are they that produce peace. Not war. So this is something which has to be done in every aspect of life. Peace. Make peace, not war. In Isaiah 52, we read in verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains at the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, your God reigns. In former days, no telephone, no internet, no possibility to talk to someone on the phone. If you want that a certain information will reach another person, you have to send someone. You write it down on a piece of paper, it's rolled, seal on it, and then this person runs towards the other one. These messengers were very important in those days, some on horseback. Communication system in early days. Now when you get such a message, you break the seal, what will be inside? And what a joy when you see, oh, good tidings, peace, not war. And this is the picture here. How lovely. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good tidings. And we should be such messengers. When people are with us, that they open something to see, oh, good tidings. It helps me in my life situation, in my trouble, in my problems. Someone has good tidings for me. Peace. Peace in your heart. Your sins can be washed away. Are you a peacemaker? Are you able to tell others how they find peace in their soul? when they confess, repent, that Jesus will wash away their sins? Are you such a peacemaker for the hearts of other people that they can breathe more freely? That's the aim. Jesus wants to have such followers that we help people to get out of the desert, to get out of all the misery they are in. Jesus, when he was on earth, wherever he spoke, people got new hope. They looked at life from another side. And yeah, when they went away, they had new thoughts, new ideas, new plans, and they acted differently. They had got a vision of their Savior. What about you? A voice for the voiceless. In Isaiah 58, we read, verse 1, "Show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice, that I delight in approaching to God." A voice for the voiceless. "Wherefore have we fasted," say they, "and you seize it not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and you take no knowledge?" What is the answer of God? "Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" Verse 6. "To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and yet you bring the poor that are cast to your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh." People fasted, but went on in their usual attitude, as before. And then they wondered why God was not answering. They had not changed their attitude. They had only changed an outside appearance. "We are fasting. Look at us, O God. What kind of spiritual people we are. Oh, we are the best on earth, aren't we?" And in reality, it is the same attitude towards other people as before. And Jesus wants our attitude to be changed. A new attitude. That we look at people as Jesus looks at them. And he was moved by compassion when he saw them, shepherdless. They are without good shepherds. He was moved by that in his heart. And he wants us to be moved by all the misery in this world. That we see the people with the eyes of love. That was his aim. He wanted to show us Look at me. This is what Jesus told them. Look at me. When Jesus was on this planet, he was a voice for the voiceless. And the upper class, they got angry on him because their conscience became awake.
They, the upper class, spiritual class, priests, scribes, they wanted to live in luxury, to add one house to another and one piece of land to the next.
They did not really care about the poor and the needy. Their aim was me, 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 I, self, self, self. And Jesus, he did everything for those who were in need. He is different. And we should be different too, to make a difference in this world. Summary. When we have a look at this piece of art, the Good Shepherd by Maximilian Yatcha. When Jesus was on this earth, he told stories about shepherds, sheep, how they are lost. And one story, at the end of the day, when all the sheep came together in their stall, the entrance is very small, that only one sheep after the other can enter, so that you can count them. And then the shepherd finds out one sheep missing. Now what to do? Closing the door, it's already dark, night, looking for this lost sheep. And when he goes out into the darkness of the night, he looks for this lost sheep. And this is a parable, a simile. When we look up in the night, up to the sky, all these stars, all these suns, far, far away, then we discover, wow, huge distances. Far, far away. Jesus left all the other sheep, all the other planets, all the other solar systems, and came to the one lost planet, the one lost sheep, which had gone astray, this planet Earth. He came here, lived as a human being for 30 years till he started his work on this planet. For 3.5 years. 3.5 years. And we still talk about it. Imagine. Normally we live 70, 80 years, which traces can be found of someone. Yeah, the famous ones, kings, and so on. Yeah, they are written in history books. But a normal person, Jesus worked for 3.5 years. And we talk about him, about all of his daily activities. Still, after 2,000 years, we talk about him. Such an impression he made on the people, that after 2,000 years, the interest has grown, and it grows continually. That's the difference Jesus made in this world. And he wants us to follow his footsteps. He left all the planets to look for the one lost planet, Earth. He was moved by compassion for our misery. What about you?